And not only do we live in remembrance, but we live in the reality of your resurrection and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for every listener to your word this morning, that hearts would be wide open to you. Come work in our lives. I pray for myself. I pray to anoint me to bring your word with authority and power and conviction and truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you to Andrew, Sherry, the worship team this morning. Wow. Just so aware of the Lord working in our lives. May he continue to work through the preaching of his word as we come into our new Advent season. God with us, and God with us brings hope. I don't know if you've ever felt that you've been in a hopeless situation. You may receive bad news. I remember once in primary school, the school secretary phoned, and when I saw the school's number pop up on my mobile phone, naturally as a parent I thought, uh-oh. Did my child throw up all over the teacher's desk? What happened? And the first thing the secretary said is, "Mr. Clark, this is not bad news." But you know what it's like when the phone rings in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you ever have that happen? Anyone? Who could be phoning me at 2? I'm sure they're not phoning for a chat. And your heart's beating and the adrenaline's going and what's going on here? I don't know if you've ever been in a hopeless situation where you've literally, and I'm sure we all have, you've received bad news about yourself, about someone you love. And everything on the inside of you just goes crashing down. There's a story, a true story, that happened in the summer of 2017 off the coast of Long Beach, USA. Two longtime commercial fishermen, John Aldridge and Anthony Siskinski. They headed out to sea, 40 miles offshore. And Anthony was sleeping below deck while John was getting ready for the big catch they were about to haul in that day. And as part of his preparation, he was doing stuff and he was pulling on a handle. And as he pulled on this handle with all his might, the handle snapped and he fell backwards overboard into the ocean. True story. Do we have my presentation up? Is there hope for that this morning? And are we recording the sermon? Just double checking. Just checking with a deck. Flight deck there at the back. Okay, so there we go. Can move it on. Can move it on. There we go. To make matters worse, this boat was on autopilot, so it just kept cruising. And John was in the water. As soon as he surfaced, he saw the boat go far, far away as it went over a crest of a wave. He was alone, treading water in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean without a life vest, thinking he was going to die. A pretty hopeless situation. A true story. Can you imagine what he must have felt like? If there's ever got to be a hopeless story, this has to be it. Or is it? While John was trying to calm himself down, trying to quiet his thoughts of sudden death, trying to stay afloat, he realized the boots he had on were buoyant. He wanted to live. He had the hope within him to live. So he decided to try get his boots off. He plunged them underwater. They bounced back up. He somehow got to make an air pocket in them, and he put them under his arms as flotation devices. There was a glimmer of hope. A flicker of hope was burning in him again. Then John thought of his family, and he thought, no one in all the world knows that he's in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean except the two sharks about 15 feet away from him. He then tried to set goals. If only I can make it the next few hours. If only I can make it till morning. It wasn't until 4 hours later that his friend Anthony woke up and discovered that John was no longer on board. So Anthony contacted the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard let Anthony know there's not much hope for finding your friend, John. On the boat, on board, Anthony found the broken handle, and he knew John's routine, so he figured out just how far out they would have been when the handle broke off. So he turned the boat around, and he went towards where he thought John may have fallen overboard. John made it to the morning alive, and he tried to keep his hope alive, but the hours kept on passing, and there was no sign of hope. Finally, he spotted a fishing boy and was able to reach it and climb onto it. There was a surge of new hope. In less than an hour, the Coast Guard found him, and the Coast Guard said, "We've been searching you for 9 hours. And John said, "I've been waiting for you for 12 hours. Miraculously, John survived. What an amazing story. But the story is this. It was the hope on the inside of him, the hope of life that kept him alive. And hope is like that. We may not be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean this morning. Praise God for that. But hope is the whisper that maybe, just maybe, those boots would have kept him afloat. What is hope in your life? For some, it's the first candle at Advent. You've been through a year. You've been through ups and downs and tough times and great times. But it's another Christmas. It's another turkey to buy. More presents to buy. You're looking at your budget and you're thinking, how am I going to do this? And for some, hope is that first candle that's lit at the beginning of Advent every year, knowing that Jesus is the light of the world, and in him and through him, all things are possible. We can go on to the next slide, and if you don't mind giving me some light, I really like light, I don't like darkness. Thank you very much, but I know you did it for the screen. Hope is the first day you wake up when you can breathe again after surviving a killer cold. Hope is that faint line you see on that stick when you've been struggling to fall pregnant. It's the first ray of sunshine after you have been up in prayer all through the night. Hope is the first soldier to land on the beach. Hope is hearing the words, "He's going to be okay." Hope is the flicker of maybe. Just maybe. Hope is the fuel of faith and dreams. Folks, and this is where we're going with this morning. Hope is the fuel of faith and dreams. There is nothing as hopeless as a hopeless person. Being hopeless is worse than having a cardiac arrest with no hope of recovery. So there's nothing as hopeless as a hopeless person. But it is hope that we celebrate, and in hope that we celebrate this first Sunday of Advent. And may you know the hope of the Lord for your life this morning, for your family's life, for your loved ones, for your hopeless situations, for that depression that just won't seem to go away, from that family member who's a real knucklehead that always gives you such a hard time, that their presence just dries out the turkey instantly when they walk into the room. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Advent is a season of hope. And actually, Advent isn't something us Christians all of a sudden tack on to Christmas to expand the season and to give me something to preach about. Advent actually means coming or arrival. And it is marked by an expectant waiting, an anticipation, a longing for what Christ can do in our lives. Advent links the past, the present, and the future all together. Advent links us to the ancient longings of those people of old in Old Testament times who look forward to Jesus, the Messiah, to his birth. Advent looks back at that. But Advent also looks back at the birth of our Savior. But Advent also looks forward to his coming again. Do you believe that he's coming again? He's coming again. What a great hope we have as Christians, no matter how hopeless this world can be. Politics can never fix this world. Brexit, exit, whatever. It's a crisis. It just points that we need our hope in Jesus. Not a hope in a politician. Not a hope in democracy, however great democracy is, and ever the great things democracy has accomplished. Our hope is not in democracy. Our hope is not in a country or in a political situation. Our hope is not in a Christmas bonus, which you may or may not receive. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. It can be a season of frenzied busyness. Who just loves the shopping centers over Christmas? Not me. I mean, it's like being put in a tunnel with all these people around you and you just have to make it through. Help. You need hope to get through. But as a story, Advent is about the story, the greatest story ever told. It's not our story, it's God's story. And when God's story and our story collide, he makes history in our lives. The faith of the sermon is that you can have the greatest Advent you've had to date as you live in the hope of the expectation of what Jesus can do for you. Emmanuel, God with us. What is your situation this morning? What are your worries? Where do you wake up in what do you wake up thinking about at 2 o'clock in the morning? Pretty hopeless, 2 o'clock in the morning. Cold British winter night, central heating switched off. Silent. The council can't afford to keep the street lights switched on and it's dark. And you lie there. And the problem seems to overwhelm, seems to overtake, seems to be louder than a shout of victory. Seems to be louder than the voice of Jesus. Seems to be darker than any light that's been offered. You see, way back in the beginning, the way God intended his creation, he wanted fellowship with us. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He walked in wholeness with them. He walked in intimacy with them. And that's God's desire for us. Whether we're on top of the mountaintop right now in our life, or we're in the lowest of the lowest valley you could ever imagine, Jesus wants to be intimate with you. He wants to walk in wholeness. He wants to walk in life with you. Our world we live in is a broken world. Let's not fool ourselves. We may have Christmas lights on our Christmas trees. We may have Christmas carols thumping through our shopping malls. But if you're really honest, it's empty. You can stack the presents under your tree 2.9 meters high, and it's not going to fill the void that's in our lives. Because way back in the beginning of time, when God created Adam and Eve, he walked, he talked, he fellowshipped. And we will remain empty for the rest of our lives if we don't get into this hopeful relationship with Jesus, where he walks and he talks and he communicates with us on an ongoing basis. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people were a people of hope. Let's go to the next slide. We see it in God's covenant with Abraham, then called Abram. Genesis 12, verse 3. God says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God promised this. Look at the next scripture, Genesis 28, 15. When God encountered Jacob at Bethel, he renewed that covenant and reinforced the hope rooted in his faithfulness. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. But so much has passed on since those times. And you may be saying this morning, how long, oh God? Anybody ask that question? 2 o'clock in the morning on a cold winter's morning, and he's still got that illness. The child you love and are praying for and anointing with oil has still got the same problems. How long? How long? And these are the questions. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, David, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets repeatedly asked throughout Israel's history. Repeated with devotion and then recession. Devotion and then neglect. Prosperity, recession. Feast, famine. Pleasure, pain. Remembering God when times are tough. Forgetting God when times are good. But through it all, through it all, Israel had a deep longing that the Messiah would come. It was more than something that drifted in and out of their consciousness. This deep longing was more than something that drifted in and out of their culture. And in the midst of this waiting, waiting for the one to come and set all of creation free, to bring us into the place where we as a church can sing today, I am blessed, I am saved, I am anointed, I am favored. In the midst of the waiting, when none of that was happening, and there was despair and brokenness and human suffering, God raised up the poster prophet of Advent named Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied amazing prophecies. I'll give you a few examples. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. If you take anything home with you today, take this home with you. God is with you. And again, our expectation is God's invitation. He stands at the door and he knocks. Revelation 3 verse 20. Knocking, knocking, knocking. This Advent, let your hope be in Jesus. Next verse, please. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He's your Wonderful Counselor. Wow. Wow. Even your pastor needs counseling. I've discovered the Wonderful Counselor. Wow. He speaks words of hope, of life, of realignment. He speaks them. I say, Lord, I've never had a 12-year-old daughter before. There's no owner's manual for this. What do I do? I've never lived in 2018 before. No one has ever pastored a church at such a time as this. In this church, in this place. What do I do? And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He's your Wonderful Counselor. He'll speak words of truth, of life, of hope, of victory. He'll say to you, how about turning those boots into a flotation device? He'll give you the wisdom. He'll show you what to do. Mighty God, everlasting Father. We live in a world that even though kids have fathers, we live in a fatherless generation. where there's so much broken down in family life. But he wants to become our everlasting, everlasting, everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Wow. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In 1741, Handel wrote what we know as the Handel's Messiah, that grand string oratorio. And whatever our style of music and whatever our preference, the great tunes with the great truth, with the complexity of it all, still get sung today. Wow. Can you imagine living in this ancient world? A time there was no digital age, no Twitter, no Facebook. Can you believe it? And no Instagram. How would we survive? We sometimes have communication blackout days. All phones to Dad's study. Switch off. Oh, Dad. Oh, hopeless. Worse than being lost out at sea. At least there's a satellite to track me out at sea. But no iPhone. How do we live? Imagine this message coming. Spoken out. Imagine the hope it brought. And we turn our attention to the Christmas narrative in Luke. We've heard of the person Zechariah. Zechariah, a priest. Luke tells us he was a good priest. Wow. Being a priest and being called a good priest must be a good thing. He was a righteous priest. He would have known these words. He'd have probably preached these words. And one day, while on temple duty, an angel appears to him. Now note, this was in a hopeless time. There was 400 years, the intertestamental period, where God did not speak through a prophet. Silent. I mean, imagine that. Imagine being given the silent treatment by God. I don't want to imagine that. I mean, Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Zechariah, while he was going about his priestly duties, an angel appeared to him and told him that he would have a son. Luke 1 verse 17, we can look at that on the screen. Will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What a significant prophecy in a hopeless time. And God wants to speak to you in your hopeless time. You may have felt that God, he's been too silent in your life. If you'd allow him this Advent, he'll speak to you. If you'd allow him into your families, I know there's a load of prophetic stuff in there, but practically speaking, he can turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom and righteousness. Wow. What does this tell us? When it comes to Jesus, there's no lost cause. Some of you may be worried about your families right now. There's no lost cause. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom of the righteous. Wow. Some of your kids, some of your family members, they're busy writing their testimony right now. When God breaks through, it's going to be his story. It's going to be his story making history in their lives. You see, Zechariah, we know his wife and couldn't fall pregnant. Great shame in those days. Great embarrassment. Looked down upon in society. Oh, Zechariah, he's our priest. He's a great priest. But him and Elizabeth haven't had a child. And Zechariah and his wife, too old to have a child. And with his response, the Lord made him silent. But there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. With a special message that God brought. Hope was alive again in Israel and on earth at its deepest of levels. Maybe you're thinking, that's all very nice. That's a nice Bible story. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I am in the real world right now. They weren't fighting cancer back then, you may say. His spouse wasn't being killed in a war somewhere in some God-forsaken spot on the planet. They weren't about to lose their job. They didn't know. They weren't figuring out how on earth they're going to pay their bills, how they're going to put presents under the tree, how they're going to put meals on the table. No matter what kind of problems and struggles you are facing right now, no matter how great the pain, no matter how dark the darkness, I want to encourage you, do not abandon hope. Let the hope of Jesus arise in your life. Let the tiny spark of hope well up on the inside of you. Connect with God this Advent in a whole new way. I'm going to conclude. And I'm going to ask Peter just to give some music as God just comes and ministers into our lives. So how can we rekindle God's hope in our lives this Advent season? First of all, hope is based on God's word. Hope is based on God's word. Look at Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Our hope is not based on some kind of airy, fairy kind of thing. Our hope is based on the Word of God. May I encourage you this Advent to make a concerted effort to get into the Word? Make a plan. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you could, around mealtime, read just one scripture every night. Oh, you say, I have a spouse who doesn't believe, I have a child who doesn't believe, I have a great aunt who doesn't believe, and a false tooth will fall out into the soup if I read the Bible. Don't worry. One little verse. It's Advent. It's time to prepare our hearts for what God's going to do in our lives and in 2019. Wow. Get into the Word. Make that devotion. Set that alarm clock earlier. Get up. Spend that extra 20 minutes late at night while everyone's asleep. You see, Scripture is filled with stories and words and promises that can rekindle a supernatural hope on the inside of us. When you're lying there at 2 in the morning and you're worrying about the child that still hasn't come home, you can say, surely, Lord, your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You can pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we need heaven on earth. We need heaven in our kids' lives. We need heaven in our parents' lives. We need heaven in our grandparents' lives, in our aunties and our uncles. You may need heaven in your boss's life. You just pray it down. Let's get back into His Word. You see, hope is based on His Word. Hope is also based on God's character. Hope is also based on God's character. Look at the scripture there. Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Why did Jesus need to tell His disciples this? Because He knew the world He was sending them out into, they would need to know this. He wasn't sending them on a Sunday school picnic. He was sending them out into a harsh world, filled with the harsh realities of the kingdom of darkness. But He promised, I am with you always, always, always. When you get called into your boss's office, when redundancy is lurking, when the doctor calls you and says you better come and visit your loved one for one last time, you can know that He is with you always. When the one you're praying for, who's promised to come to church with you on Christmas Day, and Christmas Day comes and they say, I don't think so. I'd won too many brandies last night. I'm staying at home. He's with you always. He is with you always to the very end of the age. This is God's character. It's who He is. He cannot fail you. He cannot let you down. He didn't build His house in you to move away. He didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. He didn't lift you up to let you down. It's His character. He's faithful. And as we begin to say, Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness in the past. As we begin to think of what He did in the past, the fire of hope gets rekindled in us. We begin to breed gratitude. And we begin to expand in our love for Him all over again. I am with you always. And lastly, hope is based on His faithfulness. In the Gospels, there was this woman who society shunned. People thought was unclean, impure. The law would have rendered her impure. Don't think you can be around us. One day she heard that Jesus was in town. And she had been bleeding for 12 years. No one could help her. No doctor could help her. And she decided, I'm going to get to this Jesus. I've heard His word that He can heal. I've heard of His character that He loves. I wonder if You'll be faithful to me. And you know the story. She made her way through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment. Did that take courage? Of course it did. In a crowd where you couldn't get through and people would say, who on earth do you think you are? Jesus won't want you near Him. Off with you, you rubbish. I don't know what the crowd is metaphorically around your life today. But if only you can just get to Jesus this Christmas, this Advent, this first Sunday of Advent, you'll find all the hope you ever need. Because when she touched Him, Jesus announced, who touched me? She experienced the power of God. But was she going to be in trouble? And Jesus offered her words of grace, of healing. He deeply connected with her. And He's faithful to you. He wants to deeply connect with you. Listen to these words from Jeremiah. If found in Lamentations 3. Yet, this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him. Can you say that in your heart this morning? The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Friend, if you'll put your hope in the Lord, he has promised he'll be good to you. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of our God. In a moment, I'm going to ask the band to return to the chorus. I am saved. I am blessed. I am healed. Can we fit somewhere in there? I'm filled with hope. I don't know. Figure it out. But let us pray right now. Pray for two lots of people this morning. You love Jesus and you're feeling hopeless. I'm going to pray that the God of all hope will fill you with his hope. That's you. You love Jesus, but you're just in that hopeless place. Romans 15:13 is for you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. In this waiting time, in this Advent time, this waiting time, may you be filled with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants you to leave here today overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be overflowing. That's you. You just get with the Lord. Before I pray for you, allow God to minister to you. But first, I want to pray for those where your relationship with Jesus, honestly speaking, it's hopeless. You've moved away from him, and today you feel him knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying, come on home. You will not be judged. You'll not be condemned. You will receive a royal welcome home. You'll be loved. A robe of righteousness will be put on you. A garment of praise. Come on home. Or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. And he wants to reach you this morning. So maybe you've moved away and you want to come home to him, or you want to give your life to him for the first time. Would you pray this prayer after me, please? And if the whole church could join me, please, and say, dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you. Thank you for the hope you give me. Thank you for the hope you give me of salvation and eternal life. And eternal life. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross for me.
I believe you died on the cross for me.
And that you rose again from the dead.
That you rose again from the dead.
I ask you to forgive me, a sinner.
I ask you to forgive me, a sinner.
And come into my life.
Come into my life.
I want to be a Christian.
I want to be a Christian.
Today and forevermore.
And forevermore.
A child of God. If you prayed that prayer, you've either come back or you prayed it for the first time. I'd ask you to be brave. Could you just slip up your hand really quickly, please? Anybody like today, pray that prayer. Just slip up your hand. Do it now. Just say, I prayed that. I came back. Or I invited him for the first time. Just do it now. No one's looking around. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. God knows your heart. If you find yourself in a hopeless situation, just give it to Him now.